We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the DNVR Draft Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download it today. Use the promo code DNVR when you sign up. I'm Justin Michael. I am joined by Andre Simone and Jake Schwanitz. We have a ton to go over. We have the New Year's Six Bowls. We have the college football semifinals. In my opinion, the best weekend of semifinals that we've ever had, just in terms of excitement. Both games were epic. We'll talk about a mock draft. We'll talk about Jim Harbaugh. We'll talk about the portal. It's on. There's all kinds of stuff to dive into. First things first, Jake, how you doing, my man? Are you feeling better than you're looking? I think you need some coffee.
I need some coffee. I need some sleep. And I need a break from my football teams causing me pain.
All-time weekend.
Fair enough. Like,
what a turnaround that was. We just thought it was all Michigan, and then the Buckeyes almost pulled it off. And yeah, no argument on best, like most entertaining national semis in the playoff era. Biggest upset too, right?
Yeah, I don't even think that's even close. Like, there really have not been. Mm-hmm. Ohio State, I guess, back
Cardell.
In 2014. Yep. But other than that, there just have not been very many dramatic upsets. It's been a lot of chalk. I think this was great for the product. I think Ohio State beating Georgia, I mean, was arguably close to as big of a upset if they pull it. But
great point.
Georgia still finding a way to win when they play their worst game of the season is just a testament to what that program is right now.
Yeah,
they have surpassed Alabama and Ohio State, in my opinion. They are the premier program in college football. Not to say that those other two are slouches by any means. I just think from a week-to-week basis, their talent, their depth, I don't know how you beat a team like them unless they find a way to beat themselves. And even when they play poorly, they still might steal it from you.
Yeah, man. It was a valiant effort by Stetson Bennett. He is a dog in the truest sense. CJ Stroud was so impressive to me, though. I think that was my biggest takeaway from
agreed.
That game.
Agreed. Yeah.
I mean, we were dying for him to show more, some more stuff mobility-wise, extending plays outside the pocket, and he delivered in spades. Probably, honestly, my takeaway from the whole weekend was just how well he played.
100%. And while I agree with what Justin's saying about like Georgia establishing themselves as the premier, like the top dog, pun intended, in the country now, like Ohio State, I don't know that the best team won that game. And honestly, if Marvin Harrison Jr., I said that right. Oh, Jesus. If I can't start getting the juniors from the guys that I was watching as a child, right? Holy shit, we're in big trouble. I think if he's healthy, or is just able to finish out that game, I think Ohio State brings it home. Also, I mean, not to mention they like miss on a last second field goal. And just like they maybe got just a smidge too conservative once they got into field goal range with Scrutum. I also wonder, like, what would Jackson Smith and Jigba at 80% have done for that depth in that game to close it out? They just ended up having not enough. And I love your point about CJ Stroud. It hurts because as of now, that would be a guy that the Broncos' original first round pick would be like right in line to get. And yet, are emptying our accounts on Bryce Young first overall pick bet on DraftKings. That was a smart bet because we got in at the right time, because those odds have only shortened for Bryce Young, who himself has an outstanding bull, historic, right? Record-breaking, oh, five TDs. And I told you guys that they're playing the big boys. They're going to play this like it matters, and they cover that spread easy peasy.
I like that segue there, because we're going to talk more about these semifinal games because they were epic. But I did want to start just real quick epic. With the whole Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud conversation. The latest mock by ESPN Plus, Jordan Reed, has Bryce Young going number one to Houston, has CJ Stroud going number five to Indianapolis. Overall, four quarterbacks go in the top 10 in this one. Will Levis goes seventh to Vegas. Anthony Richardson goes nine to Carolina, and then no more quarterbacks. Just a couple more real quick, and then I'll let you guys give your thoughts. Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle one at 10. Quentin Johnston, wide receiver one at 12. And Joey Porter, cornerback one, or Joey Porter Jr., excuse me, cornerback one at number 14. The Broncos end up with Tennessee tackle Darnell Wright, who I have seen kind of rising up a lot of boards. I don't think that would be shocking. Maybe a month ago would have, but he is definitely rising. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Do you still feel confident in that bet at Bryce Young going number one? I still feel pretty good, particularly after what he did in this Kansas State performance. He's just so smooth and composed. Like, CJ is a tremendous quarterback. When you give him time, when you give him a clean pocket, he can pick you apart downfield. I'm not sure there's anybody other than maybe Caleb Williams, I think you could make the argument for, when the play breaks down and you need to create something out of nothing, it's like the game slows down for Bryce Young and he just always seems to find the right guy.
Contact balance. You don't totally talk about it with quarterbacks. He has a certain balance, mobility, just presence in the pocket, ability to maneuver, and then get it out quick and like keep his eyes downfield. That is very, very unique. Now it's that Bama quarterback thing. Tank for Tua, then we saw him on an NFL field and it felt like he's not quite that guy you tank for. Mac Jones, we were all hyped after the rookie season. Now it's like, what's going on? In that context, it's easier. You look better than you typically do, but he's kind of been the chosen one, man. And he hasn't faltered once, and he's just got a crazy poise and ability to read things. And between the NFL rules and the fact that he just doesn't take a lot of clean hits, I think he's that rare case of a guy who's going to survive at that size and be a real like playmaker, be a real factor in the NFL. I do wonder what his ceiling ultimately is, because the raw tools are only so, like, this isn't Josh Allen, you know, like it's not Josh Allen size. It's not Josh Allen arm strength. Like,
landing in Houston has never done any quarterback any favors either, just for the record.
Yeah, good point.
Bryce Young he's special, man. From the first time I really like got to see him, it was different than what you're used to seeing in college football. And that touchdown throw, the touch he had, just
the deep ball,
45. What in the world, man? That's like witchcraft watching him sometimes.
The perfect spot, though. It's like throwing in the trash can and just drop it in a bucket and let him run under it.
Yeah, it was crazy. And like Dre said, the ability to escape, that's why I had him over CJ Stroud for so long. I feel like he just offered me that little bit more, even though Stroud maybe has a better arm when it's all said and done and has the size, obviously. CJ Stroud made the conversation closer, but I'm not changing my mind. I've actually been set for a long time at Bryce over CJ.
Yeah,
and I think NFL teams are really going to eat up that he played as well. Sorry, Dre, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, not at all.
When you read the quotes and stuff and him just talking about wanting to go out the right way and what this team means to him and ending on a high note and just like that he felt that he owed it to his team and his teammates, like coaches and GMs, they eat all that crap up and he gives the right answers. He has everything on film. I don't know. It's just one of those, can you get over his size? And, you know, we mentioned Tua's health situation the last couple of years that, I mean, it's at least something to consider. Bryce is tiny, tiny. And I love the guy to death. I would take him at one, but he's slight. Like, he would be an anomaly in terms of lasting in this league.
Yeah, and I mean, you think of Kyler and some of the issues he's had. Obviously, it's not all size related, but, you know, it's... it's back to my same old margins speech, which I'm not going to lay out in full as always. But, you know, it's just like your margins are tighter. That's it. It's why, like, Tom Brady can survive longer than, like, Drew Brees. Like, that's just margins for you kids. So it's going to be really interesting because I think if the size wasn't there, I think we are talking about Bryce Young as that generational talent. Like, if he was just like average size, we wouldn't be drooling over Caleb Williams as much. And we'd be like, dude, Bryce might just be like that dude that competes with Burrow and Mahomes and Allen for the next decade, you know? And then back to the Darnell Wright pick. He's a guy we highlighted after that Bama game, right tackle, arguably the best right tackle in the draft, a guy whose tape against Will Anderson is as good as any. Obviously, that Tennessee offense is going to be a very unique eval when you get to run blocking and like, how are you getting out of your stance? And just like seeing these recent mock drafts, I saw a CBS one that had Paris Johnson Jr. drop into the Broncos. But aside from something like that, Bijan Robinson, you know, Jalen Hyatt, someone that kind of feels like, oh, wow, that was really good value that dropped to you, Kayshawn Boutte. And I'm really highlighting corners, O-line, some wide receivers, some edge. I think it's primed for them to trade back. And seeing CJ Stroud in the national semi definitely makes all this sting a little more.
The sting isn't over, bro. The sting's not over, I promise. With this pick, though, you finally fix the right, or you hope that you finally fix a right tackle position that's plagued the team since, I don't know, 2014, 2015. It's been forever.
Louis Vasquez is probably just, right.
Right. Just going back to this mock, though, I love this Houston haul. Bryce Young and Quentin Johnston. Holy cow, man. That's A++ right there. Looking through it too, I felt like the wide receiver run from 22 to 24 is interesting. Just that order of them. Jordan Addison, then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, then Jalin Hyatt. I don't know if that's how it's going to play out when it's all said and done.
This wide receiver class is going to be really interesting. And it might be one of those where medicals and 40s weigh heavier than usual. To me, though, Johnston just week after week after week after week has separated himself as the top guy. To me, he's way closer to a top five pick than he is a top 12 pick. And I mean, once again, he made a game-breaking play in that one. And I mean, we could get into the quarterback some, because I thought Duggan wasn't super impressive, but he did his classic thing and got the W. JJ McCarthy is going to be such an interesting eval next year. I get so many different vibes from him. Sometimes he reminds me of Fields. Sometimes he reminds me of Mariota back at Oregon. And then Stenson Bennett, like, shit, if he wasn't 24, God, I'd be all over him. and McIntosh is a beast. Like, we haven't talked about him enough. And Monken, how's Monken still the OC at Georgia? Like, this feels very much like Venable stayed at Clemson for like a decade. It was like, how's this happening? Like, that dude, just what a second half he called. I keep talking about the Georgia offense. To me, is the real impressive part. I could get into how Hyce Bauer is going to be drafted next year, like highest tight end ever drafted. Jesus, there's so much to unpack still, guys.
This is just, it was a crazy fun New Year's Six and college football playoff in terms of the guys that you needed to evaluate showing out. Like, the quarterbacks balled out, the receivers balled out. We got to see some of the defensive talent show up. I mean, it was just, it was kind of a college football fan's dream. I guess we can just kind of just transition into some of these games here, because it's kind of the natural line. We'd already just talked about Bryce Young. There's not a ton to say, I think, with that Sugar Bowl, Alabama kick their ass. I will say that Deuce Vaughn made a really strong impression, 22 carries for 133 yards. That's obviously skewed by an 88-yard run, but averaging 6 yards per carry in that scenario, I think, is big for him and his draft stock. Jahmyr Gibbs had 142 total yards, 76 rushing, 66 receiving, showed his versatility. And then the Bama defensive backs, Brian Branch, I think, is definitely going to be a first rounder now. Jordan Battle had a really good game. Both those guys had picks. Yeah. And then DeMarco Helms had like 13 or 14 tackles. So I thought it was a nice day for what was kind of a challenging year for this Bama secondary. They were kind of hit or miss. But I thought all things considered, they really showed out and made it hard on Johnson and that K-State offense, which can be pretty explosive.
Yeah, for sure. Alabama showed out. That was the message they were going to send, or they wanted to send, and they did. Honestly, all what you just said, Justin, just gets me hyped for CU, because Charles Kelly is coming over as the DC. And man, if he can coach up some of these defensive backs, watch out.
That's such a great hire, by the way. I don't know why he didn't get like an SEC DC gig or something like that, but that's a big time addition for Prime.
Yeah, for sure.
Massive.
Anything you want to add to that K-State Bama game, Dre?
No, not really. You know, I think we said it all. I don't want to be redundant here. And I don't have a ton on the other ones either, the other New York Six. You know, USC, that was wild. It was wild. Utah's just ruined the reputation for the Pac-12 the entire season. Like, if Utah didn't exist, the Pac-12 has such a different year. It's hilarious. I was mesmerized by TCU's front. That to me didn't make sense. It's a true freshman at nose. It is a senior transfer from New Mexico and a redshirt senior, and that 3-3-5 got the job done. Like, it breaks my brain to even think about it sometimes.
That was the difference, right?
That was the difference.
Went into that matchup saying, you know, can TCU compete in the trenches with this Michigan team? You knew they had speed in the secondary. You knew those receivers were next level. You knew Duggan was a great athlete. But could they hold up? Could they hold up on both sides in the trenches? They didn't just hold up. They punched Michigan in the teeth on both sides of the ball. The pass rush was able to get after JJ. They were able to run the ball at times. It didn't seem like Michigan was prepared for Duggan to run around as much as he did. And I don't understand that, because if you've watched TCU at all this year, that's what he does.
Of course.
It was a weird game. I'm still really high on Jim Harbaugh. He's still my top guy for the Broncos if they have that opportunity. But some of the play calling, I mean, Philly special made no sense on fourth down. It was just an odd game for Michigan. And it's, I know Jake's sick over it, but to get down, you know, to the 1 and 2 yard line and not come away with points twice is just gut wrenching in a 6-point loss.
13 tackles for a loss, man. Insane what TCU did. And before I hand the ball over to you, Jake, that D-line's performance is what really gives me hope for local college football, because that's the hardest thing in the transfer, is getting the trenches to turn around quickly. Look no further than the Horned Frogs, first ever Big 12 or Texas school to make it to the Natty in the playoff era. Woo! Mind blown. Crazy. Mind blown.
A few things to go back to there. Yeah, they got dominated in the trenches, Michigan did. And Dylan Horton, as you said, Dre, what a game. Four sacks.
Yeah.
And then just what he's built this season. He's up to 14 tackles for a loss, 10 and a half sacks. He's going to be on draft boards. And then back to what Justin said, I mean, Michigan lost this game, dude. They got outcoached. They outthought themselves. They were getting too cute when they had to. And then just something huge that I talked about last week going into this game is it was kind of put up or shut up for J.J. McCarthy, and he wasn't ready, man. Those two pick sixes were – they changed the game. Michigan wins the game if they don't have one of those pick sixes that happens. Yeah, he was making plays, but man, it was rough at times for JJ. The yards are there. If you look at the stats, it's fine, but he was easily the worst quarterback of the four in the playoffs. And then I just wonder how this game would have gone if Blake Corum was healthy. Dylan Edwards, I mean, he had the big run to start off with, but they really struggled to kind of get him going after that. And he's just not that type of back, man. He's a speedy guy. I mean, he's still playing with a broken hand out there. I just really wonder if they had Blake Corum's just ability to run the ball in between the tackles with toughness and contact balance, if they would have been able to just, you know, keep some more drives going, just have a little bit more momentum with Blake Corum. It was a heartbreaker.
They got punched in the mouth and kind of got shook. And to their credit, they kept coming back, because for many stretches in this game, it kind of felt like it was going to just be an end-to-end blowout for the Horned Frogs. And then it really felt like, oh shit, are they blowing this? And somehow they sustained. It was really wild.
That third quarter was amazing.
Like, what a great showcase for the sport. What a great showcase.
44 points in that third quarter.
Yeah, that was spectacular.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Jake, what are your thoughts on the Jim Harbaugh statement of words, which really don't say anything? I mean, we don't know what the future holds, but he enthusiastically expects to be coaching Michigan in 2023, just like I enthusiastically expect to start my diet any day now. You just said yourself, Michigan got outcoached in that game. As a Michigan guy, what are your thoughts on Harbaugh? It seems like the writing on the wall is he wants an NFL gig. How does that make you feel? Has he reached his ceiling with Michigan? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things to factor in there.
It's tough to say. And reaching the CFP 2 years in a row is a pretty damn high ceiling, even if you lose both games. But the statement itself was oddly timed, just because the allegations officially kind of came out after that. Then I think back to last year. Nobody cares about
that stuff anymore, by the way. I saw like a lot of NFL reporters being like, oh, this is... Michigan's like, we don't give a shit. We beat Ohio State the last 2 years. Yeah, keep cheating, please.
Worth it, for sure. Just going back to last year, though, he didn't put out a statement like this early. So I don't know what that means. He went and did the whole circuit, interviewed with Minnesota, and then he decided he was coming back. Now he puts out this statement pretty early after the loss of their last game. I don't know. I mean, I think you can read into it both sides, because he obviously didn't do this last year, but then he may have had some other things on his mind too, going into that college football playoff game, because he was trying to get too cute for sure.
Yeah. Carolina going after him too. And Ryan mentioning, did he John Fox Michigan, you know, where his mind was already somewhere else. So reminiscent of Super Bowl 48. Who knows? Let's actually get to the other, anything else on the other semi on the other side.
Okay. Yeah. Real quick, then we got to shout out the homies, DraftKings Sportsbook, the fans, the tradition, the glory. There's nothing more thrilling than college football. It's bowl season. The action is far from over. My go-to betting is, of course, with DraftKings Sportsbook. Why would you go anywhere else? Right now, new customers can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on the national championship. Get $150 in free bets if they do. You don't even have to get the spread right. Georgia is a double-digit dog. Historically, that means blowout. We'll see. We put a lot of respect on TCU's name. All you need is to get that right winner, though. $5 and you get $100 or $150 in free bets if you hit that. You can also combine multiple bets for a bigger payout with DraftKings same game parlay. I'm not going to lie. I took a couple of tough losses on SPs in both semi games. Didn't think that Ohio State had it in the trenches. Didn't think TCU had it in the trenches. I was wrong both cases. That's part of the game. You win some, you lose some. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code DNR. New customers can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on a college football team to win and get $150 when your team does. That code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Also, shout out to Denver Health Medical, where it's open enrollment time for individual health plans through January 15th. They offer exchange plans available on the Connect for Health marketplace with great benefits and affordable plan choices. You can also call direct at 303-602-4912 and sign up online at denverhealthmediaplan.org. Their Elevate exchange plans have options for individuals and families looking for cost-effective quality health insurance. This year, they've also added a new virtual mental health option called Elevate Mind. It's available 24/7 at the cost of a normal copay. Great for those who need a convenient resource for mental health. Open enrollment, as I mentioned, exchange runs through January 15th. Call today at 303-602-4912 or visit www.denverhealthmedicalplan.org today.
Nailed it. Let's talk about the Peach Bowl. Georgia, Ohio State. I agree with Dre. There's just not a ton to say about those other New Year's Six bowls other than thank God Clemson did not make the playoff. USC is never going to win anything until Lincoln Riley gets a defense that decides they want to tackle.
Yeah,
I'm just going to throw out these numbers real quick. USC had the ball for 39 minutes and 49 seconds. They converted on 11 of 15 third down attempts. Both fourth down attempts, they totaled just under 600 yards of total offense, and they lost. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't be possible. Mm-mm. Their defense was so bad.
He's got to move on from Alex Grinch, man. I mean, at what point is enough enough? Get yourself a solid defense. Get yourself a new coordinator. Figure it out, man. I mean, you have everything else.
Honest young DC in football. Rush,
13 per catch. Yeah.
He should, the cards should hire him. Just keep getting guys who fail upwards from the college ranks. Yeah, insane. I mean, well said. Just pathetic. Brendan Rice going off, though. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah. No Jordan Addison, and they'd have all these goddamn weapons, and they get Dorian Singer next year. It's insane.
Yeah. It's kind of unfair, but they do need to figure out the defense or they're just going to be a joke.
Or they'll be a 9-10 team win every year, but you're never going to win anything that matters because they just like you're not going to win the Utah type games. You're not going to win the playoff games. You just if you can get punched in the mouth like that. Tulane, they knew it. Like they're running the ball. They're laughing. Spears had four touchdowns. Tremendous game for him. I mean, they go down and they never even hesitated. They didn't stop running the football. They're like, it's fine. We'll move the ball. They had, you know, an early turnover. I don't know. I shout out to Tulane putting on amazing for G5. You love to see it. And I like to be right. I think we were on that USC defense early. They had a lot of athletes. They created turnovers, but they were soft as Charmin and Tulane punched them in the teeth. Georgia, Ohio State, though, we've already raved about C.J. Stroud. He was awesome in this. As Dre mentioned, Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Ohio State wins if he doesn't go down. He looked uncoverable. Like, he looked as good as any receiver we've seen this year.
Yeah. Bowers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, McCarthy. It's going to be some nice skill position players for the 2024 draft, man. Yeah, he's insane. He's an absolute beast. And how about, you know, maybe all this stuff I've been harping on of like the culture change from Urban to Ryan Day, maybe it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You know, like maybe the culture Ryan Day has established is just fine and playing some Big 12 football in the Big 10 is going to work out because they were they were right there with Georgia. And I truly believe a healthy receiving core, and they probably win it, which is interesting because last year, a healthy receiving core for Bama, we were saying, would have made a big difference as well.
Still think Bama beats Georgia if they have Jamison Williams.
And Mechie, right? Mechie goes down very early.
Mechie went down in game.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting a tight end, and I think a fullback at wide receiver by the end of that game, Ohio State is. Like, that's how bad that was. And I mean, you're talking about Smith and Jigba and Harrison. I mean, those are the best guys of back-to-back classes, basically. Those are massive losses, absolutely massive losses.
That being said, though, Emeka Egbuka was the leading receiver for Ohio State. He's a sophomore. They got another one. Brian Hartline. I mean, we talked about Charles Kelly. Brian Hartline is up there as one of the top recruiters and developers in the country also.
Great point.
Just a never-ending cycle of future number one receivers. It's got to be. It's one of those, and I think Ryan Rosillo makes this point a lot. It's like, it's hard to feel bad for Ohio State in those situations because they're just so loaded. Or Bama. I mean, you could make the same argument. But it obviously made a big impact in that game. Shout out to Stetson Bennett. I thought he looked kind of rattled early. Like, for the first time, I thought he looked kind of shook. And then they come out. It helps when the DB falls down and you can get like an 80-yard touchdown to your track star where he runs in untouched. But still, I mean, time in and time out, this guy makes the throw when they need them to. He's not the sexiest quarterback out there. He doesn't have the biggest plus traits in the world. He goes out and he runs that system perfectly. As you mentioned, Monken just called such a tremendous second half. They're like one of the only teams that when they go down, they're like, all right, I guess we'll just go back to running the football.
It's great.
And they just run it down your throat.
They're amazing. Yeah, I love that offense. And they kind of lost the two tight end sets, right? Like, they've had some injuries dealing with
Washington
that.
And this down. One.
So Bowers was maybe slightly less of a factor, but then makes like the play of the game. Bennett's going to be really interesting come the NFL. I'm usually never high on these guys. But he's a smidge different. He's got something.
Look at Kenny Pickett, man. Kenny Pickett was an older guy who came in and we were like,
I mean,
the age is something that we hate, but everything else we kind of like. And now he's kind of turning it on for Pittsburgh.
Purdy, an older guy too.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, real quick, who would you guys give Offensive Rookie of the Year to? Right now, the favorite, just slightly, and then we'll move on to this natty preview, is Kent K9 with Garrett Wilson at +210, Brock Purdy +450, Kenny Pickett +1800, and then it's like Watson, Olave, blah, blah, blah.
I give it to Pickett if San Francisco runs the table. They close out undefeated. I think he gets it because when you look at the stats for Wilson.
Purdy?
Yes. Thank you. Sorry.
Oh. Gotcha. That makes more sense. I agree.
Yes. Sorry. Goodness. Total brain fart. Yeah, I think it's him. Just when you look at no rookie quarterback since, Roethlisberger has had this type of run.
Yeah.
He's just been so composed week in and week out. I keep waiting for the pumpkin to turn or the carriage to turn back into a pumpkin. And I don't know. In the Shanahan system, I think it just works. Those other guys are just having like good years, 1,000-yard rushing year, 1,000-yard receiving year. But when they don't wow you, it's this. Yeah. Shout out to my guy, Ryan Stonehouse, though, about to break an 82-yard record. Not even in the conversation, but
sad.
Okay.
I would go Garrett Wilson, I think, but the case for Purdy it's very intriguing. I just don't know if you can give it to a guy who's only going to end up playing, 5 or 6 games. That's hard. And when you look at Garrett Wilson's situation, I mean, he had Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, Chris Streveler throwing him the ball, and he's putting up a 1,000-yard season. I guess you could say the same thing about Olave, too, though. I mean, they haven't really had a solid quarterback position and haven't been great offensively, and he has been. It's a
really interesting race. Breece Hall looked like a lock. And how different does that offense look, you know. Also, Sauce Gardner seems to be the lock on the defensive side, so that would have been a Jets double, as they call that in world football. Okay, cool. I'm good. Thank you. I think there's value on Purdy in this last week. Is all
I think
I'm saying.
There is too. That's just where I would put my money. Like the other guys, I think I don't know. I think that's where the value is. Let's talk about this Natty though. And do you trust Georgia's secondary against these TCU receivers?
It's going to be a hell of a matchup.
Is it the wide receivers or is it the quarterback though? You know, to me is can Duggan make enough throws?
Can they give him time?
Can Duggan make enough throws? And I mean, their team speed, TCU's really shined against Michigan. Is it going to be able to shine against Georgia, who might be that one team who can match up? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's all about the trenches again. If TCU can man up and take it to them, anything's possible for sure. But man, we're talking about the Georgia Bulldogs here with Jalen Carter, who's a top five pick, and they've got dogs behind him. If they can protect and allow Max Duggan to kind of just run around and make some plays, and I'm all in on TCU. I'm just wary though, man, because even Michigan's case, they went into this game against Georgia last year and everyone was like, you know, if they can run the ball, if they can hold up in the trenches, didn't matter. It was a complete ass whooping. Georgia's just in a different class than everyone else. So I worry about that.
The history is not in TCU's favor. These double-digit spreads, when you look at national championship games or Super Bowls even, like, it tends to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time dismissing TCU after what we just saw from them do this past week in the trenches, and I want to be respectful. I certainly think that they're capable of it. I also think that Georgia played its worst game probably in the last 3 years. Maybe even like four or five in terms of the big moment, like type performances, and they still won. I don't know. I feel like we're going to see the real Georgia. You give them 10 days, you know, to scheme up some shit for a team. I have so much respect for Kirby. I can't go against them. So I do think Georgia is going to cover. I'm kind of worried it's going to be a blowout, but I would love to be wrong.
They're just so loaded that Georgia forces you in so many second and third and long drives because they just like one of those five stars burst through and like sacked you and okay, pick your ass up and like let's line up for the next down and now get ready to punt. And you lose enough of those drives, you just fall behind to where there's like you reach a point of no return. That's what really terrifies me. It's an insane spread. Part of me thinks, gosh, under two touchdowns, lay those points all day at 12.5 on the dogs. Like, you know this, like you've been saying it for weeks. It's gonna happen with the Horned Frogs. Like, it's the Cinderella analogy that I would butcher as well. And then the other part of me says, like, these guys don't get blown out, man. These guys don't get blown out. They just have that fight in them that's not going to let them relent. We're underrating their skill positions. And maybe their coaching staff, which, holy shit, we're not talking about Sonny Dykes nearly enough. Like, this is one of the all-time great college football seasons we've seen in the last 20 years. I have no doubt about that. So I'm just torn like a pretzel. I'm staying away from this spread. I need to see it unfold a little. You want to see TCU gain a little momentum early. That's where you start to feel like, okay, there might be legs to this. But don't go all in. Don't like hammer TCU money line, you know, once you lose value, because that's not what's happening. That's where you gain value on Georgia, because they'll relent. They just should have too many athletes, too much depth, too much size for TCU in all four quarters. But we've been saying that about the Horned Frogs since mid-September, and we've been wrong every single time. So
two more takes. One, I don't know if Kendre Miller is going to be healthy for this. He kind of rolled his ankle in that game against Michigan.
Big one.
DeMarcado is a solid back, but Kendre Miller's had a fantastic year. He almost hit 1,400 yards. He's got 17 touchdowns, so that's a big factor. And then you talk about hot coordinators, Dre. I mean, Garrett Riley, man, he was up high on my list for the Buffs, too, for this reason. He's been doing amazing stuff this year. And just those, like, shallow cross, like, whole field screens that he's running that they pop two big touchdowns on. I mean, you saw it only takes one missed tackle and they're out the gate. So it's about getting ahead early, like you said. The Michigan game played out perfectly into their hands with them doing that stupid Philly special. Just stealing that possession early, and then the two pick sixes, of course. It's going to take something like that, I think, to get this covered.
I have tremendous respect for both OCs in this game. And honestly, if Harbaugh would leave Michigan, you could do a lot worse than Garrett Riley or Todd Monken as your replacement.
Only 10 teams have gone back-to-back since World War II. Georgia trying to become the first since Bama in 2011, 2012. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. This TCU team is special, man. Like, nothing would be cooler, I think. If you're just watching this as an objective college football fan, they were 2,000-1 to even make the national championship. If they can somehow win against this defense, it's sports movie type stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially like with the way they played in that Big 12 championship and the emotion and I don't know. Like Dre said, every time that I count them out, whether it was Texas or Michigan or any game where I was like, I don't know, the difference is going to come through here, they always find a way.
Yeah.
So I am really hesitant to fade that. It's just my confidence in Georgia is so high, particularly when they have over a week to scheme for somebody. It's hard to go against them. No Nolan Smith, though. And that's been a big factor these last couple of games. The pass rush has been not as effective.
Yeah, and what Ohio State was really good at was, making it so that Stroud had a clean pocket to get outside. So protecting those edges. And Duggan's going to do the same thing. You let Duggan get outside the pocket, he's going to make stuff happen as well, especially if your depth at the second level maybe isn't tippy top. It's a huge test for that secondary. TCU just plus 350 money line dog. It feels like plus 2000. Because I tell you, man, the Horned Frogs actually do this. It flips this sport on its head that this former Mountain West squad joining the Big 12 and in a year where the Big 12's falling apart. I mean, just think of what the conversations were around the conference 6 months ago, as Lincoln Riley's dipping out and Texas and Oklahoma are leaving. Garrett Patterson leaves after eons. Like, he built TCU. He leaves in the first year Sonny Dykes is able to do this. It's mind bending, man. This kind of shit I didn't think was supposed to happen like this in this sport. And it really would break a lot of conventional thinking if they could go all the way.
I think I saw this was, sorry, on Reddit, I read this comment that, damn, it drove the point home just how crazy the season is for TCU. They said, TCU fired the guy that built their program and then went to the national championship.
It's insane. It's like losing Peyton Manning to the NFL draft and winning the Natty, which is what happened at Tennessee. Yeah. You know, it's stuff that you kind of don't expect.
They've gone like 23-24 over the 4 years leading up to it, though. I mean, it was time for a change. I don't think that this stuff happens very frequently, but it at least gives hope to a lot of college football fans out there. I mean, I've talked about on the Rams pod why this TCU team should make you excited, because CSU is trying to build their program on the same principles. We're going to run this air raid. We're going to get as many plus athletes as we can. We'll figure out a role for him. I don't care that he never played linebacker. We're going to take this, all-conference wide receiver from California or Texas. We're going to put him at linebacker and we're going to let him run crazy. Like, this, it's intriguing. It's really intriguing that you can potentially punch up in a major way if you get the right guys, you get the right fit, and you find the right athletes. So I'm really excited. I'll be pulling for TCU in a major way in this one. But I do think Georgia covers, unfortunately.
It's the TCU is the power of the portal too right now. I mean, you get these guys like Dylan Horton who were playing at New Mexico. He's been at TCU for a few years, but it's how you work the portal, how you find those gems who are playing at other schools who are trying to, you know, take another shot up in class and just hang on those guys.
Yeah, and Duggan hanging around was huge as well. And I mean, there's so many, not horror stories, but like stories of conference realignment not working out, Nebraska, A&M, like Mizzou. Mm-hmm. Hasn't necessarily worked out for CU. And we always talk about Utah as kind of that shining example of where it has worked. TCU's that other one, man. And it's punching up. It's going from the G5 to the Power 5 and it working out for the best. It's crazy. So I'm very excited. Monday's going to be an all-timer. Jake's already sad that we won't have football anymore. We all share that. But it's our time to shine. Broncos season will mercifully be over and we'll be able draft to season. Get into draft season in full. It's our time, baby. So get ready.
It's our time.
Before we go, what are your predictions? I said I think Georgia covers. Got to go on record, both of you.
I'm taking the Never Say Die Horned Frogs against the spread.
Same. Georgia, actually, I think might be down in the... I might take a TCU first half spread, too. And then I think the dogs lay it on them and win by over a touchdown, but not two tuds.
Boa constrictor.
Boa constrictor, baby. -7, Georgia. Boy, they set some good lines. I will take TCU +7 first half, though. I like that.
All right, you heard it. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you to our presenting sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that promo code DNVR when you sign up. We'll be back next week breaking down that national championship. And as Dre alluded to, really getting in full draft mode. This is our time of year. Keep up with the Rams content. Keep up with the Buffs content. Keep up with the Broncos content and everything in between. For Dre, for Jake, I'm Justin. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.